we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's Wednesday, June the 28th, 2017, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM and the Refresh Radio broadcast with Bob Arthurs, brought to you as by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God and those listeners who support this ministry on a financial basis from time to time. And guess what? We have openings available if you would like to help in that area. This radio program, it generally operates on a deficit financially on a monthly basis. So if you think that every preacher is out there just making boatloads of money off of ministry, you would be sadly mistaken. We are here because we love God, we love His Word, and we love for you to be able to hear the Word of God and have the opportunity to grow in your faith. So we are here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and the ministry opportunities in Brevard County are phenomenal. There are more people that need to hear about Jesus Christ in Brevard County, and we need all of the Bible preaching churches and the saints that attend those churches to be equipped with the Word of God and a passion for reaching the lost. That is why we are here. That's why I'm here. And so we encourage you today to get into the Word, get into your prayer closet, know Jesus, and allow Jesus to work His will in your life and in my life. So we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I do know that all of the rains that have happened in the month of June and everything, that has kind of hindered their ability to do their job to some extent. But can you imagine if you were trying to do pouring concrete or doing block work when you come home at night and then you got all that rain to deal with and all that? You don't want to do that. I want to encourage you, call the professionals. Call Greg at 321-536-5804 if you've got block work or concrete work that you need done. They have decades and decades of experience here in Brevard County, and you will be blessed, and you will be a lot less sweaty. Your muscles will not be as sore, and you will get the job done better because we all have learning curves. They've already gone through all of that. They know the things that work, the things that don't work, and they will do a phenomenal job for you. So I encourage you to call Jits Concrete, 536-5804. Wednesday night is family night at Merritt Assembly of God. I will be speaking tonight, and we start feeding kids at 6. Opening ceremonies for the kids starts at 6:30, 6:45. They move off to their classes. 7 o'clock, we have adult worship, prayer for needs that are going on, and then Bible study as well. So we encourage you to come and be a part. If we can't see you on Wednesday night, we would love to have you visit with us on Sunday morning. 9:30 for Sunday school. Worship is at 10:30. And then this week we are back to having Sunday night service. Last week they had Sunday night service, but I was in Oklahoma. So we will be back. We will be preaching Sunday night. Now, Sunday night we just have an adult service this coming week, because the youth group is having their own Saturday night event, and it's going to be a big month of July for our youth ministry and kids ministry and all that they have going on. So hopefully we'll see you tonight. If not, we'll see you Sunday or whenever you get the opportunity to visit with us at Merritt Assembly of God. So with that being said, I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read the latter part of chapter 3, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time there today. We're going to go on into chapter 4 so that we stay relatively on the core topic that we are talking about, and that is the Spirit of God leading us to a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus, and that relationship just continues to build day after day after day. So you are born of the Spirit, and to be born of the Spirit, you have to be born by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit, flesh gives birth to flesh, and so we want to make sure that the Spirit of God is working inside of us. And so the Spirit of God moves a speaker to go and proclaim the Word of God and the Word, the good news about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to listeners who hear by faith, then they receive by faith, and then they begin the journey by the Spirit, and then they continue to live by the Spirit on a regular basis. And so the omnipotent God will continue to supply the Holy Spirit to you and the works of miracles among you. Like I said in an earlier broadcast, in verse number, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Those two verbs, supplies and works, are present and they are active. And so Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is still supplying the Spirit and he still works miracles. I'm so thankful that there wasn't an expiration date on the day that miracles stopped working. I'm so glad that it said, you know, that there wasn't an expiration date and says, well, I'm going to work miracles up until such and such a date. And then if you get sick after that, then I'm just not going to do any more miracles after that. I can deliver people who are demon possessed, but only up until such and such a date. And then after that, I'm not going to do any. I'm so thankful that that's not the way that God operates, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me read the remainder part of Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse number 15. It says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, this is chapter 4, verse number 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So let me see if I can bring some of the things that I have been told through the years to maybe help clarify some misconceptions about this passage. This passage is talking about the family business. The way it was explained to me is that in the family business, a father would come along and he would have employees that maybe worked in one aspect of the business, and that they might not work in other aspects of the business. So if you were a carpenter, so per se, you might have somebody that is out there cutting down trees. You might have somebody that's in charge of the transportation. You might have somebody that is in charge of sharpening the tools. You may have someone who is in charge of crafting the product. You may have another person that is in charge of sales and distribution. You might have another person in charge of the financial management. It just depended upon how large the entity was, but there would be a lot of different aspects. When it came to Jewish law, from what I've gathered, there were something like 613 different commandments. And so that law was designed to help people to understand God, the Father's family business. He was calling them to a life of distinction, not to a life of sin and a life of discouragement and disappointment. He wasn't calling them to failure. He was calling them to success. But that law was a tutor. It was designed to take something that was external and place perimeters around about people's lives to keep them on the right path. But it couldn't justify them. It never could. God made an offering system available that brought forgiveness for their wandering, because they had wandering hearts. They had hearts that did not seek God. They had hearts that wouldn't intercede for others. They just had a fallen nature, just like everyone else. And so a father would, if he had a child, he would take that child and he would install him into various departments of the family business. And so they would work right alongside the employees, even though they were a son. They would get to where they would understand that one part of the family business. And then once they had that, then they would move over into another aspect of the family business, until they got a grip on everything. And then, as it was explained to me, when they had come to the place, then they wouldn't have to have the external confinements that other people had, because now the business of God, the business of the Father, was now in their heart. Have you ever seen someone who their heart wasn't in their job? Have you ever seen someone where their heart just wasn't in whatever they were doing? It manifests in countenance. It manifests in speech. It manifests itself in effort. And so whenever the heart isn't in it, you have to have external motivations to try and compel people to do what their heart doesn't want them to do. That's what the law did. Because the people under the law, just like everybody else, they needed a heart transformation. God is the first one that said, I will take out a heart of stone and I will put in a heart of flesh. It wasn't that it was going to be a carnal heart. It was going to be a heart that was soft and pliable and healthy and functioning the way that God wanted it to. And so when it talks about here in Galatians chapter 3, in the first part of Galatians chapter 4, it says in 3:25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. I want you to understand that when faith comes in and takes up residence, it doesn't just take up residence in our mind, it takes up residence in our heart, produces a change. And then it is not, we have to go to church. It's not, we have to read our Bible. It's not, we have to pray. It's not, we have to go out and tell somebody. It is a heart transformation that has come. And we realize that God has us here for a purpose, an eternal purpose. And we long to fulfill the purpose that God has for us in our heart. So faith marks an entirely different motivational system. No longer are we mandated from the external aspects of the law saying you've got to do this and you can't do this and you a list of rules and of do's and don'ts. But faith comes in and it liberates us. It takes off the training wheels, if you will, takes off the bumper guards on the bowling alley, because now we want to do the will of God. Can I ask you, has faith changed you? Has faith liberated you from some things that were destroying your life? Because faith is liberating. It's not liberating so that we can go do whatever we please whenever we want. It is liberating so that we can do the will of God. It is liberating so we choose to do the will of God because we want to. So he goes on and he says that in verse number 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Okay. Think about that declaration, Abba, Father. Is that what you cry out whenever you have missed the mark? Is that what you cry out whenever you have rebelled or disobeyed, whether it was against your earthly parents, your boss, or anything like that? When you were called to give an account and you knew that you had blown it, is that what you did? Sorry, the phone's ringing there. That's not what I would want to do. I know that whenever I got in trouble, the last person that I wanted to encounter was my father, because I knew that he was going to motivate me, if you understand. He was going to motivate me for future obedience. But when Jesus comes on the scene, now the Spirit of God comes in and he said, you are not a slave. Prior to understanding the family business, the child and an employee or a servant, there was very little distinction. They both did the same job, though one was related and one wasn't. One was doing a job, the other was getting an education. The one had a ceiling. There was a certain place that they were going to go, but the other was going to receive an inheritance. And I will tell you, receiving a spiritual inheritance from God is way better than receiving the wages of sin and death. Way better. Way better. And so I encourage you that you want, and so whenever the Spirit of God comes in, you and I, we are crying out, not just when we miss the mark, but when we know that there is a mark that needs to be targeted, we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out for our Heavenly Father because we need His help. You know, I was just in Oklahoma, and my parents, they were celebrating their anniversary, and I don't get to spend every anniversary with them, but I try to make it as frequently as I can. And I talk to my parents on a pretty frequent basis. They're sometimes not long conversations. Hi, I want you to know I'm alive. And, you know, a lot of times they're busy. In fact, we tried calling them on my mother's birthday here, and my son said, every time I call, those people are off doing something, and they're not jet setting, they're not traveling around and all that. They are someplace doing something, you know, functioning to their economic best interest, or they're out doing something at church or something like that. They are constantly on the go. They're my parents, the church that I grew up in, they celebrated their 50th anniversary. And so my mother is constantly making things to auction off to try. The church is striving to have their debt eliminated this year. And so my mother's been constantly making things to auction off so that the church could be debt free. So they're always doing something, but I will call my father whenever there is something that I'm facing that maybe I just need a little bit of his expertise. And so you and I, we can cry out, Abba, Father. There should be a longing in our heart for our Heavenly Father. Adam, before partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, walked with God in the cool of the evening on a daily basis. He walked with God. There was something inside that had to be just unbelievably fulfilling, that every day he was walking. And I don't believe that Adam was saying, hey, let me point out this over here to you. I believe that it was God treating Adam like he's referred to in the scripture as a son. And he was instilling in him and walking with him and saying, you know what? I want to make you, I want to equip you to be the best that you can be. Do you realize that God is looking to make you and I the best we can be? He's not looking to put us down. He doesn't want to call you, you know, a bunch of foul names and all of that sort of stuff. He is looking to make you and I equipped for the family business, which is reaching the lost with the love of Jesus Christ. So he says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So as we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, there is something inside of us that should be longing for our Heavenly Father. Have you reached that point? Because the Spirit of God not only wants to take me there, doesn't want to take your pastor there or your Sunday school teachers or your leadership board or your choir director. He wants to take all of us to that place. Can you imagine what would happen when we came to church if instead of just looking to socialize and all that sort of stuff, we would say, God, I am here today. There is something inside of me. And God, I am so thankful. Abba, Father. I can tell you that when I visit my family, there, you know, one of the first thing that's got to happen is there's got to be a hug and a kiss for my mother. Got to. If it takes too long, she's not going to be happy. And she, you know, I want her to be happy. And so there should be a longing for that relationship with God. And so if you don't have that, would you cry out and say, Spirit of God, would you create in me a longing for my Heavenly Father? Not where I'm afraid of him, as in terrorized by him. I do revere him. I do hold him in awe. I respect him. I respect his word. I respect his will and his plan for my life. I respect him. But I also realize that that's my Father. And I can cry out to him, not because of some legal aspect, but because we have a relationship. So, by the way, I'll just throw this in there. I'm dad at the house, and we have a refrigerator. That's a good thing. And everything that is in that refrigerator is available to my kids. And sometimes they avail themselves of everything that is in the refrigerator, even if it is my leftovers. And the response is, hey, it was in there for over 24 hours and that made it free game. And, you know, I really don't care about the food being gone, because those are my kids. They're all adults. They're wonderful kids. They're a blessing to the body of Christ, and whatever I have belongs to them. Now, verse number 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So I want you to get that the Spirit of God is creating a new heart desire inside of us, where we are no longer desiring to go and do our own thing, go and do our own plan, go and make our own mistakes and all of that. But instead, he's created in us this loving relationship with our Heavenly Father, where we want to do the Father's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not just on earth, but in my life as it is in heaven. And so then it says, you are no longer a slave. You are no longer just an employee in the family business. You are a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God. The Bible describes us as a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Do you realize the Spirit of God is longing to bring each of us to an understanding of the marvelous inheritance that God has provided for us? Most of the time, heirs would not get to experience that until the provider of the inheritance was dead and gone. And even then, many times in today's culture, there are some strings and stipulations, but God wants us to know that we are joint heirs now, so that we function with the understanding that everything that God has for us is at our disposal. God wants to bless us and has blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've got news for you. If I was to go into battle, the children of Israel one time made the mistake. They said, well, you know what? This battle isn't all that intense. We'll just go in with a small army. And they got defeated. There was sin in the camp. If I'm going to go in, I'm going to go in with every weapon that I've got. I'm going to make sure that victory is a certainty. God has a very important mission for you and I, and that is reaching every man, woman, and child with the good news of Jesus Christ. And he wants to make all of heaven's assets available to us. Don't shortchange yourself. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.